630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Tatar comes over the line, got steamrolled by Puljujärvi. Here's McDavid the other way. He'll split the D.
I'm never really afraid to take on two defenders. Can get me into trouble sometimes, but, you know, I was able to get it in good stride, and, you know, the D were kind of scrambling back, so just tried to make a play.
McDavid the other way. He'll split the D. He'll score! Connor McDavid! What a rush!
Well, you're not surprised. I mean, it's not as if it's the first time he's ever done that. So it's when he goes up the ice with the puck with a head of steam, he can be a dangerous player, and that's exactly what happened.
And the Oilers are up 2-1.
He was real competitive tonight, you know, with losing JJ in the game. I used him and Draisaitl again a lot, and they both answered the bell.
There you go. Quite a thriller last night at Rogers Place. McDavid with the spectacular goal, as it was a full team contribution from the Edmonton Oilers. Mike Smith strong once again in net. Everybody had to get involved physically at some point, and they hung in there and got it done with four goals in 7.5 minutes to knock off the Canadiens 4-1. They're going to do it again tomorrow. A little bit of a later start. The face-off is at 8. The face-off show here on 630 CHED will commence at 6. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. My name is Reed Wilkins. It is Inside Sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Reed Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. Wilkins like Dominique. I am not related to him. He was on the show a few years ago. It wasn't bad to talk to him. And, of course, you can call in on the hotline presented by CertainTeed, professional-grade building materials, 780-496-0063. So I'm watching that game last night, and it's a thrilling game. It's a nasty game. It's an exciting game, and it comes down to the third period. And the Oilers weren't always in control. I didn't think they started the game very well, kind of back and forth points. I did think starting with about 6 minutes left in the second period, they took over. And then the question was, were they going to be able to break through? Missed some opportunities. Jake Allen made several good saves. Finally, Ethan Bear got a big goal. And then McDavid's brilliance. And then Puljujärvi on the breakaway. And then Devin Shore into the empty net to add a little bit of insurance. I remember talking to you guys early in the season after the Oilers had lost two games quite poorly and played quite poorly and lost quite lopsidedly to the Montreal Canadiens. And I remember sitting here thinking in my luxurious home office that is slightly bigger than a broom closet and saying to you guys, what is the identity of this team? Is this team going to ever say, we don't make stupid mistakes? You know, we don't get out of position. We got to cover for each other. Are they ever going to commit to those types of things? Well, as we've seen, they've got better to that throughout the season. But I thought last night was a perfect example, and perhaps the most encouraging example that we've seen from an Oilers squad, maybe not just this season, but maybe in several seasons. Okay, it's a physical game. Everybody's going to get involved. Your captain, the star player of the league, the leading scorer, is going to get involved physically. And other guys are going to come along with them and do their part. And Rob and I talked about it on Overtime Open Line. At some point in last night's game, everybody made a positive play or two or three and made something happen, whether it was a hit, a forecheck, a backcheck, a nice pass, a scoring chance. Yeah, they didn't cash in on all of them. But at the end of the day, they had more than the Canadians, and they got it done. So what is that win worth? And here's really what I hope, that maybe that's a game you point to at some point down the road and say that was a significant step. You look back on the footprints of the season and you say, do you see that one footprint there, that big indentation where it really looks like that foot had to dig in and push off? That's that game on April 19th. Against the Montreal Canadiens. That was a big step. And that's what I hope, that it's 2 points in the standings, but maybe it's something larger for the Oilers as we move along. And the playoffs are around the corner. And they're probably not going to play Montreal in the first round, but, you know, they might very well play Winnipeg. And there's going to be tough nights, and it's not always going to be going your way. Can you still hunker down and figure it out, whether it's a physical game, whether it's a high-scoring game, whether it's a tight checking game? And all those little things have been added to the Oilers' resume throughout the season, and they have a lot more passes than failures. as we've gone along. So I asked Dave Tippett this morning, or I guess it was early afternoon when he was doing his Zoom availability. And I said, you know, we like to use as observers of the game in the media, and a lot of fans might like to say that is a statement game. I don't know if you would say that, but can there be future value to a game like this?
Well, every game you take a little bit out of it. I mean, that was an intense game. It was a physical game. You know, it's a good test for our team. The first part of the game, I thought we were competing hard. We just, our puck play was not very good, and just making plays under pressure to relieve some of that pressure, we turned it over too many times. And we battled hard to get it back and not give up much, but it you'd like to be a little cleaner. But that's the way the game goes sometimes. I like the way that, you know, when sometimes the game's not going your way and you feel like you're chasing a little bit, it's too easy to drop off. I like the way our guys stuck with it and just and got better as the game went on. And, you know, it wasn't just, I mean, you see Connor scores a highlight reel goal, but we had a lot of people compete really hard and push that game to our direction and in the third period. So, you know, it's one of those games, whether it's, I wouldn't put it a statement game, but you learn, your group learns that if it competes hard enough, we have a chance to win. And that's what we did last night.
Well, all right. So there's Dave Tippett saying he wouldn't call it a statement game, but you always learn something about the team. And I think that's a fair way to put it. You learned a little bit more about the Edmonton Oilers last night, that they are not going to go away, and they learned it about themselves. And I think that's the most important thing. I like how Dave Tippett put that. Sometimes when you're chasing the game, it's easy for your play or your concentration to drop off a little bit or to be affected by frustration. Didn't see that by the Oilers last night. So pretty encouraging. Alex Chiasson, who is always pretty well spoken. And I thought he's had a couple of pretty good games here, really involved in two goals against the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday. He was with the Washington Capitals when they won the Stanley Cup a few years ago. He did not play in every playoff game, but was on that team. And he made some interesting comments today about the growth he's seen in the Edmonton Oilers.
You know, I look at, you know, my first year here 3 years ago, to where this group is what direction this group is going, the type of hockey we've been playing as of late. You know, I think we've realized here we got, you know, starting tomorrow, we got 12 games left in the season, and we want to go in the postseason feeling good about ourselves and making sure we're ready to go. So as close as you're going to get as a preparation for a playoff game, I think everyone was dialed in. We stuck with it for 60 minutes, and you know, when we're down a goal, or to stick with the plan and not get away from things that make us successful. And Bearsy came up huge there in the third, and Connor took over.
Alex Chiasson with some comments about the growth he's seen in the Edmonton Oilers since he's been here. He also commented on the increased, increased, that's one word for it, about the about all the physical play last night.
You know, on paper, it may not be our style of game, but I think going the postseason, you know, majority of the games is going to turn out that way. So, like I said, I think last night there's a lot that happened within the game that it was good for our group. You know, tight checking. Montreal's got, you know, their top 4D is you know, as big, as strong as you're going to get in the league. So. For us forwards, it's not easy to get in those areas around the net. You got to fight for every loose puck. I thought one-on-one battles were key for us, creating second and third opportunities. A lot of little things like that that happened within the game, they were key points for us.
All right, that is from Alex Chiasson, who was involved in a very important play in the game in the first period. Connor McDavid beat Carey Price with a long wrist shot. Habs challenged for goalie interference. It was obviously interference on Chiasson. Now, today, Habs head coach Dominic Ducharme saying that Price will be out for a week with a concussion. Of course, Price finished the first period, did not come out for the start of the second. Jake Allen went the rest of the way. So we can expect, obviously, Allen in net tomorrow. The Canadiens' emergency call-up, the young goaltender Caden Primeau, is going to fill in. So it looks like Jake Allen tomorrow. We'll see what the Canadiens do on the weekend when they have three games against the Calgary Flames. Alex Chiasson commented on that bump on price.
Obviously, unintentional. To be honest, I kind of read the play wrong a little bit. I thought Connor was going to go around, and I was trying to make my read off that. I apologized to him afterwards. I think he realized that that was in my intention, and I hope he's doing all right.
All right, so Carey Price out for a week for the Montreal Canadiens. They will play the Oilers again tomorrow at Rogers Place. Speaking of the Oilers' injuries, we'll get an update on Kara and Nugent Hopkins. Kara didn't finish the game last night. Heck, didn't even finish the first period. Nuge did practice this morning. It wasn't optional, but he was out there. We'll get that update from Tippett when we get back. Inside Sports. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Inside Sports on 630 Chet. Oilers and Canadiens tomorrow. So the update on Oilers' injuries. Here's Dave Tippett commenting on Jujhar Kara and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Talked to him for a while today. He's feeling good. He's feeling fine today. But they're gonna do a few tests on him here the next few days, and we'll see where it goes. So he says it's funny, you know. He got hit and just was stunned a little bit, but then today he feels absolutely normal. So they're gonna do some tests and make sure everything's all right. Nuge skated today, had a hard practice today, and we'll see in the morning and see if he gets cleared by the doctors. If he does, he's got a chance to play tomorrow night.
All right, so we'll see about Nugent Hopkins. It was an optional practice today for the Oilers. Several players were on the ice thanks to Cam Moon's note-taking and much better eyesight than I have. Nugent Hopkins, Neil, Chiasson, Yamamoto, Ennis, Turris, Patrick Russell, and Shore for the forwards. You had Russell, Larson, Bouchard, Lagesson, Bear, Cuckoo, Barry, out on the ice, and Jones out on the ice for Oilers defensemen. Koskinen and Stalock were the goaltenders, so Mike Smith, one of the guys who didn't take the optional skate today. So maybe Nuge is going to come back. They're obviously going to need somebody now to jump in for Jujhar Kara. Judging from what Tippett said, it doesn't sound like he's going to be able to play tomorrow. So maybe Nuge comes back. Maybe someone else might come in. I think Tyler Ennis usually brings something to the lineup when he's in. I also wonder how the lines are going to look. I mean, heck, do you leave McDavid with Puljujärvi and Archibald? And that's the thing about Archibald. I mean, Puljujärvi's been up there for most of the season now, playing with either Nugent Hopkins and McDavid or Draisaitl and McDavid. But that's the beauty of having someone like Archibald on the team, is that he can move up in the lineup. He's not an elite scorer, and if he moves up, he's probably not there to stay. But especially in a game like last night, he gives you that doggedness on the puck. He gives you the willingness to full body checks, to throw body checks, and he has enough offensive ability that he's not completely lost on a line with Connor McDavid. So, I mean, here's the thing. Here's another thing that could happen tomorrow if Nuge comes back. You could have the big three, as we've called them, all playing center. That's a possibility. You could have McDavid on one line, Draisaitl centering another line, or Nuge centering the third line. Or if they leave Archibald, McDavid, and Puljujärvi together, it could be the reuniting of a line that was really good last season and we haven't seen much of this year. And I know it's a line still a lot of you like. I still like it. Maybe Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto get put back together, and Cahoon perhaps would slide down in the lineup. So just some things to think about for tomorrow night's game. It's an 8 o'clock puck drop at Rogers Place. We're going to start with the faceoff show at six, and we already got some special guests lined up for you for that one. 780-496-0063 is how you could check in on the phone line or on the text line. We got a few things to get to tonight. Michael's Minute is coming up with our buddy Michael Karsmaker. He's the stats specialist for Inside Sports. He's going to look back on the 1981 playoff series between the Oilers and the Habs. He's dug up some really good tidbits from that one. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet is ahead. Chris votes on the year-end awards, at least the ones the media votes on, which is not all of them. For example, the Vezina Trophy is not voted on by members of the media. Hey, Mike Smith, though, but we'll talk about Chris's take on a couple awards that he will be voting for. And Kelly Rudy, our weekly guest, he will weigh in on the Oilers' physical victory against the Canadiens, and he'll have some thoughts on Patrick Marleau surpassing Gordie Howe for the most games played in the history of the National Hockey League. Back after the news and weather, Inside Sports on Chet. Well, blowout in progress in Pittsburgh. The Penguins up 6-0 on the Devils with 3 minutes left in the second period. Meanwhile, early in the third, Boston leading Buffalo 2-0. Marchand with his 24th of the season in that game. After two, the Islanders up 3-1 on the Rangers. 6 minutes left in the second period in Tampa. The Hurricanes now leading the Lightning 2-0. And 4 minutes left in the second period in Sunrise, Florida, the Panthers with a 4-1 lead on the Blue Jackets. How about this? Sam Bennett has scored twice tonight. Now up to 7 goals on the season. Barkov has his 19th. Red Wings and Stars about to get underway. Maple Leafs and Canucks will start in half an hour. Late game is the Ducks and the Kings. Oilers and Canadians tomorrow on 6:30. Chet, face-off show at 6. Bit of a later start. It'll get going at 8. Blue Jays in the bottom of the 5th at Boston. The Red Sox leading this one 4-1. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. He joins us every week here on Inside Sports. He is presented by Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian, try 4 weeks free. Visit sentinelstorage.ca. It is Kelly Rudy. Kelly, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Reading yourself?
I'm doing very well. Man, it's like I can feel it, that everybody's buzzing about the game last night, even though we aren't in public like we usually are, and there were no fans like that. I just get the sense everybody's so excited about that game last night. And I want to talk to you about that, but that was pretty cool last night, the end of the San Jose game, because Rob and I were able to watch the shootout. Unfortunately, Marleau didn't score, but handshakes for him, just like there was against Minnesota the other night. I know Gordie Howe has more games if you factor in the WHA, but that's quite an accomplishment.
Unbelievable accomplishment. And I think that, and I'm sure you saw the same videos from Bob Bugner and others saying that when Patty finally came to the dressing room, all the guys were still in their gear waiting for him. And of course, we weren't privy to those videos. We're just, I'm talking about the videos about people sharing their messages about that. But that would have been pretty cool. And I guess he broke down, pretty emotional. And for him to do that, it's pretty special, because he doesn't show a lot of feelings, at least my family didn't really see, just an incredible accomplishment. I'm so proud of him. I don't know if you noticed, but we had a thing on him, Ron and I, in the first intermission on Saturday, and just getting caught up again. I've been texting Patty quite a bit the last little bit, and I think it's probably pretty draining for him. I can imagine today and tomorrow he won't have much energy left after, you know, he's been talking about it for a few weeks, and you know, all the interviews he's been doing and so on. So just a great thing. And you know, it reminds me of Gordie Howe, though, and the first time I was able to meet Gordie. So it was the playoffs of 83. So I hadn't made the Islanders yet. That was in the fall. But 2 years when I was a junior, and 1 year when I was in the minors, I was actually a black ace for the Islanders throughout the playoffs. So I was able to go to the finals twice with them. Of course, not dressed, but just sort of partake in the festivities in the dressing room after, which was really cool to see. And the guys really letting loose after winning the cup. But it was in one of those days when, do you know the Dineen family, Reed? You know, the real famous hockey family, Dineen's. Bill is the dad, and then there's
right.
Kevin, Gord, Peter, Sean, the four brothers. Sean was the only one that didn't play in the NHL, but he's been around the NHL in a scouting role and executive role for a long, long time. So Gord and I knew each other because we played in the minors. And because of his dad's involvement in the WHA and around the NHL, he knew Gordie Howe really well. And so we're at the Long Island Marriott across the street from the Nassau Coliseum, and Gord and I. And in comes Gordie Howe, and Gordie recognized Gordie because they had known the Dineen family forever and ever. And so Gord Dineen introduced me to Gordie Howe. And the three of us went in and had lunch. And so here's my first time. I think I might have been 21 or 22. And I get to meet Mr. Hockey, a pure legend, right? And having lunch with him. But it's the oddest thing because that's here's also how my mind works, how stupid it can be sometimes. I was so thrilled meeting Gordie Howe. But I tried lamb for the first time and it was horrible. And I was like, this is, I can barely choke this down. But, you know, I don't know why I'd have two ridiculous memories like that. First, quite an honor to meet Gordie Howe, but that's the worst lunch I may have ever had in my life. But
I love how it's always food. It always comes back to food.
Right. And then getting to know, not that I knew Gordie very well, but just to be around him when Wayne was chasing all his records and he was around the Kings a lot, you know, for not only breaking the points record, but the goal record and so on. So, and Gordie came around for certain other things. I remember this real famous photo shoot that Wayne and Gordie had, and it was just an unbelievable picture of the two of them getting undressed in our dressing room after, you know, some photo shoots on the ice, and they're playing a little bit of shinny and so on. So just really cool memories of Gordie Howe and Patty Marleau that sort of mix in together with me.
Yeah, pretty cool. And Marleau's going to keep adding to the record, obviously, so we'll see how far he goes.
Yeah, you know, to that point, Reed, I don't think this is his last year. If I kind of know Patty well, and I haven't asked him yet, but I could see him playing a year or two more. That's how much he loves the game. His family is really supportive, right? Like they really enjoy it. And so I think that I could see him adding another, 70, 80, 120 games. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be incredible. Well, quite a career, regardless of how long he goes. And I think it's a Hockey Hall of Fame resume. And I know sometimes that's an argument because I sometimes hear, well, okay, yeah, well, he has a lot of stats, but he played so long. But my counter would be, well, but you don't play that long unless you're good. I mean, they don't want you on the team unless you can contribute.
You're not gifted this job, I can tell you that. You've got to earn it every year. And the Sharks are, well, no pun intended, but they're always circling, right? There's always somebody new to try and take your job. So to suggest that it's only because of longevity, no, I agree with you, Reed.
Kelly Rudy joining us at Inside Sports. Okay, the Oilers, what a game last night. Just an absolute thriller. It had great offensive plays. It had big saves. It had a lot of hitting. It had some nastiness. I asked Dave Tippett this morning, I said, basically, you probably wouldn't use this term yourself, but it felt like kind of a statement game. And I just wonder, Kelly, the value of winning a game like that when we're about a month from hopefully playing games like that every second night for an extended period of time. I think that's something to draw from, that we answered the bell, you know, we got on our back heels a little bit, but we fought right back.
I totally agree with that. That, you know, some of my favorite victories are the most hard fought, where, you know, the other team, they played amazingly well. Also, there was every aspect in the game. There was speed, there's physical play. There was anger. There was hatred. There were great saves, great penalty kills, you know, all these things that really factor into an important win. And you have to have all those things in those. There's no exception in great games like that. And so I always also looked at the schedule, and in particular, when we're really in a race, a playoff race, that all the games were meaningful. My favorite were the games in which you're playing the tougher opponent. I love those more so than playing a non-playoff team and trying to get up for those, and because they're not as rewarding, right? When you play the top teams like Edmonton last night playing Montreal, and Montreal's a tough team to play. Trust me, they play hard, and we saw it last night how, you know, they muddy up the neutral zone. They were hard on McDavid, and there were a lot of challenges that the Oilers had to face in that game. So those are my favorite memories. And you know, you sit in your stall after the game, you're taking off your gear, and you have immense pride in yourself and your teammates. You look around the room, and nobody really shares those thoughts other than something like, good job, boys. Or, you know, you might have a brief discussion about why we're able to sneak that one out and the importance of certain aspects of the game. But those are the games when you get in your car after you drive home and you have all this adrenaline running through your body, and it's next to impossible to sleep because, you know, you're just thinking, you're just so excited about how the game went.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned McDavid, and he threw a really big hit on Deno in the first period that I think ramped up the intensity in the game. And then Deno got a penalty on him later, and then McDavid scores the great goal. But you obviously understand, with some of the great players you played with from Gretzky and a lot of those Islanders guys, that when a star engages like that physically as well, doesn't just score the goals, that also is willing to muck it up, I guess, for lack of a better term, that's going to have a big impact.
It does. And maybe in this situation, Wayne wouldn't be the great comparison, but you know who would be for me? And I always think of this when you talk about incredible skill, Hall of Fame career, but mean and tough, and that's Dennis Potvin. Like, he was fierce. He was one of the most fierce guys I've ever seen play, and just a physical force that everybody was afraid of. He was like Pronger. You know how dirty Pronger could be, and I mean that in an endearing way. I mean that positively. Dennis was the same, or maybe worse, because he had a low center of gravity. He had that old school hip check that caught so many people by surprise. And man, he was just like that. And so, to your point about how McDavid made everybody sort of, he dragged everybody into the war again, or the fight with that. Everybody takes notice. There's no question about it. I mean, I would, even as a goalie, I would be down at the other end watching the action, and something unusual like that might happen, and it would get me charged up, really charged up. And then the same as a fight, you know, even if my guy didn't win the fight, I was juiced for that. I got really excited. And that was the first thing I'd say in the dressing room in the intermission. I'd congratulate him on the fight. And even if he didn't win, I'd commend him on his bravery.
Yeah. Well, Mike Smith might be the Oilers' best fighter if it came down to it, but that's funny. Give me 30 seconds on the Flames plight here. I mean, that's another crusher last night.
Crusher. And, you know, the odds are not great, as you know, but the reality is there's still a chance. So as strange as that sounds, you know, if the Canadians lose here and then they play Calgary 3 in a row, Friday, Saturday, and Monday, who knows, right? You know, the odds don't look great, and there's no reason to suggest they will win, because, you know, after another stunning loss last night, I mean, it seems unlikely, but we've seen stranger things, right? Like the New Jersey Devils in, what was it, 1988, win 10 in a row, right, to off the season, and the last game in overtime, a John McClain goal in overtime, and look, they ended up going, I think, to the conference finals.
Have another donut. We'll wrap it up there.
I'd forgotten about that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, there we go, Kelly. Thanks a lot for checking in, man. Kelly Rooney every week on Inside Sports, powered by Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Try 4 weeks free. Visit sentinelstorage.ca. I didn't know we were going to go there. Have another donut. Kellen, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Have Another Donut, are you? You know what we're talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah. I obviously wasn't old enough to comprehend what I was seeing when it first happened, but I've seen it in years since on tape and that stuff. So
we should find, there's got to be audio on YouTube somewhere. We should to play that before the end of the show. Jim Schoenfeld, who was coaching the New Jersey Devils, Don Koharski walking off the ice. And this was after, I'm just double checking the game. Yeah, it was May 6th, 1988, game three of the Wales Conference Finals. How did he spell Wales, Kellen?
Like the Prince of Wales. So W-A-L-E-S.
Yes. No H. Good. It's not sea mammals.
But the conference Prince of Wales had the team called the Whalers in it that would had the W-A-L-E-S.
That's a good point. Yeah. The Whalers could have won the Wales Conference. It never happened.
No.
So Koharski and Schoenfeld were arguing. And anyway, at some point, Koharski stumbled, and Koharski basically said, you pushed me. And Schoenfeld's like, you fell. And Koharski's like, you know, you're gone. You're never going to coach another game. And then Schoenfeld said, we got to find it on YouTube. But basically he says, you fell, you fat pig. Have another donut. I'm not going to try and do it in his voice or recreate the scene. We'll find them. We got Michael's minute coming up, Kellen. Then maybe we can get to Have Another Donut before 7. And then when people hear that, they're welcome at home to have another donut.
Sure.
Or their first donut. All right. Inside Sports on Shed. Coming right back. Hey, hope you're having a great night. Thanks for tuning in. Inside Sports on 630 Ched. And I'm pleased to welcome back to the show the stats specialist for Inside Sports. It is Michael's Minute with Michael Karsmaker. Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Reed. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We're in between game nights here for the Oilers and the Canadiens. 40 years since the Oilers pulled off a huge playoff upset against the Montreal Canadiens, Michael.
That is correct.
And give me a sense of how big an underdog the Oilers would have been.
Well, the Oilers were 29 points behind the Montreal Canadiens.
Huge discrepancy in the standings. I think the Canadiens were third overall and the Oilers were 14th, so a pretty big difference. Going into that series, in anything that you think might have helped the Oilers get a little motivated?
I think so. The Montreal goalie, Richard Savigny, put up some bulletin board material for the Oilers saying that Guy Lafleur was going to have Wayne Gretzky in his back pocket.
And did that happen, Michael?
Sadly, no. Mr. Wayne Gretzky had 11 points in the 3 games. So I think Wayne Gretzky had the Montreal Canadiens in his pocket.
Absolutely. And you found some great stuff here. Something about a song or something that may have inspired the Oilers. What's the story here?
That is right. Before game three, the Oilers were in their locker room and they were watching highlights of the last 2 games against the Montreal Canadiens, and blaring in the background was Tom Jones's version of The Impossible Dream.
And they lived The Impossible Dream by sweeping the Canadiens. Hey, man, that is an awesome look back, Michael. I really appreciate you checking in with this stuff.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun to go back in time.
Absolutely it was. That is Michael Karsmaker. He brings you Michael's Minute here on Inside Sports. He's a great addition to our roster on the show. Some fun facts about the 1981 upset victory Oilers over the Canadiens, sweeping the first round, of course, best of five back in the day, and a pretty convincing sweep for Edmonton too. As Michael told you, 11 points for Wayne Gretzky in that series. That's cool. We'll talk to Michael again down the road. Okay, Kellen, did we find the donut audio?
We have donut audio. Okay, donut audio incoming.
There it is. So the profanity bleeped out, Koharski and Schoenfeld going back and forth. And the topper on that Sunday, you fell, you fat pig. Have another donut. Have another donut.
Ah, the actually, beauty of old arenas.
in those days, the officials off-season training program was a donut a day. So for Schoenfeld to say, have another donut, that would have been right in Koharski's wheelhouse. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Have another donut, you fat pig. Wonder how often that gets used in beer league games now, talking to referees. Because, I mean, obviously you got to be of a certain age to have seen that. I don't know if there's a lot of 20-year-olds who get the reference, but I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, beer league players, 40-plus, 50-plus. I mean, still might pull that out every once in a while. Have another donut, you fat pig. That, but I believe that is now a finalist for the slogan for Inside Sports. We're going to make posters. They kind of look like movie posters, and that'll be the tagline. Have another donut, you fat pig.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.